Our scripture this morning is Psalm 107. We're not going to read the whole psalm. We're going to read the first of the four sections of that psalm, and then I'll say more about how that psalm works. Let me lead you in a prayer. God, we give you thanks for the mystery of your word and the mystery of its power, the mystery of its inspiration, and the work of your spirit through it. We ask, even in this moment, that you would make a path, a way within us, in our hearts and minds, so that your word may come into us and touch us in our deepest places. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. As the rain of mortar shells, rockets, air-to-surface cruise missiles, tank blasts, and machine gun fire grows, so does the river of tears swell its banks. Women and children weep, having to leave behind husbands and fathers. Exiles and refugees weep in desperation as they scramble through the chaos, trying to find a path to safety. Doctors and paramedics weep as they stand powerless to spare their patients from the firestorm of modern warfare. Western leaders weep as they stand helpless, afraid of escalating and setting off a nuclear cataclysm. Everyday people living quiet lives of love and grace weep as they have as everything that they have held dear now lies around them in piles of rubble. Our situation is very tense, says one. It's really very, very scary. This is an apocalypse in the making. And the cries of the afflicted have made for a river of tears. On one hand, I want to say and acknowledge that it feels like there are no good scriptures to read in light of what we see and know is going on in Ukraine. And for sure, we can say this about Psalm 107. Which is ultimately a song of thanksgiving. Psalm 107 considers and sings praise for the enduring, loyal love, the unfailing, loving kindness of the Lord, and the Lord's deliverance. So for sure, it feels like these themes do not at all fit the circumstances of what we witness today in our world. And I would say that all of that is true, except for the tears. There is thanksgiving here, a song of deliverance for sure, but there are also tears. And the psalm reminds us of the cries and tears of the victim, of the afflicted. Psalm 107 is divided into four parts, and each part describes a different scenario of human suffering. And in each one of these four parts, there is a repeated verse that reminds us of how the people cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and then how the Lord heard their cries and delivered them from their distress. The psalm picks up a key theme that we find throughout the Old Testament, namely the cries and tears of the afflicted, and the following compassionate response of the Lord. Now, if you were to read your Bible this afternoon, for example, just looking for tears, you would find many, many, many examples. In fact, I think I'm safe to say that you would find hundreds of examples of tears and people crying. Most of the main characters that we meet in the scripture at some point find themselves in tears. Patriarchs and prophets and kings and apostles. In your search for tears, you might discover too that some of the most significant criers, some of the most significant weepers in the Bible are those who are called the afflicted ones. The Hebrew word is the anawim. Those who have suffered at the hands of others, including sexual assault, sexual abuse, the violence of war, and physical and mental oppression of various kinds. These tears are known as the cries of the victim, a cry that is especially upsetting to God, especially heard by God, and especially acted upon. God is moved by these tears and cannot ignore them, not even a drop. It is the cry of the victim, the cry of the afflicted, that activates the goodness of God. And in the scripture, this is the true measure of a real God. A true and real God listens to and responds and takes care of the afflicted, victims of injustice and violence and violation and terror. And that is the repeated theme in Psalm 107, that repeated verse or chorus. That is the prayer of tears, the cry of the victim that God cannot help but respond to. It is written in the Gospels that in his own suffering, Jesus prayed the words of Psalm 22. The words of Psalm 22 sound to me a lot more fitting to the people of Ukraine today. God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. It is again that river of tears that Jesus himself prays. But if you read on in that psalm, Jesus repeats what we hear in Psalm 107, almost word for word. Jesus brings to mind the suffering of the afflicted, and he prays, "To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." And finally, much later in that psalm, we're told that the Lord has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. With the words of Psalm 22, Jesus cries out as a victim of violence, as one who has been afflicted and suffers greatly by the force of evil. And his cries and tears cannot be ignored. God is moved and compelled to act. And however else we might understand Jesus and his cross, as a sacrifice for sin, for example, he is also on his cross an expression of love and identification with all those who suffer under the darkness of evil. In his cross, Jesus joins and understands the multitudinous company of victims and their river of tears, and he becomes one with them in their sorrow and pain. And somehow in all of that chaos, as we see refugees of war fleeing to the countries around them, Jesus is somehow with them. His ministry is a ministry of tears, activating compassion. Well, maybe you are familiar with a book. You might want to say it's an old book by now. It was published in 1992, a book by Richard Foster called Simply Prayer. And in that book, he catalogs 21 different kinds of prayers, and included in his list are such prayers as the prayer of the forsaken, the prayer of tears, and the prayer of suffering. With the prayer of the forsaken, he writes, we experience real spiritual desolation. We feel abandoned by friends, spouse, and God. Every hope evaporates the moment we reach for it. Every dream dies the moment we try to realize it. We question, we doubt, we struggle. Nothing helps. We pray, but the words feel empty. We turn to the Bible and we find that it is meaningless. We turn to music and it fails to move us. We seek the fellowship of other Christians and discover only backbiting and selfishness and egoism. With the prayer of tears, we enter into godly sorrow. As it has been described by early Christians, this prayer comes with a flood of tears, an ocean of tears, a bathing in tears. Here we enter into deep sorrow, a deep sorrow for sin, our own for sure, but also a deep, sad sorrow for the sin of the world and the sin that we see all around us, the evil that threatens all that is holy and beautiful and sacred. It's the kind of prayer, maybe you remember, it's the kind of prayer that Nehemiah makes when he hears that the city of Jerusalem is broken down and the people are in great trouble and are in disgrace and devastated by violence. We're told that Nehemiah, when he hears that news, he sits down on the ground. And he cries, he weeps, he mourns for many days. And then the prayer of suffering. With the prayer of suffering, we voluntarily take into ourselves the griefs and sorrows of others. We share in the affliction of others. We feel what Ukrainian refugees might feel. By sharing in the sorrow and grief of others, We enable them to see the face of God's loving kindness, mercy, and compassion. Each of these prayers comes with tears. And what we see in the scripture echoed here in Psalm 107 in that repeating verse is that these prayers move the heart of God and compel him to action. At one time, Christians valued these kinds of prayers and the tears that come with them. Unfortunately, I think that for the most part, we have largely forgotten about them. The early Christians believed that tears had great power and that they came as a gift from God, and that you could actually ask for them and seek them, and thus you could experience their transforming power and their ability to move the heart of God. It was not uncommon at all for early Christian spiritual directors to encourage their directees or disciples to pray, to receive tears. Go to some quiet place today and ask for the gift of tears. Early Christians spoke of the gift of tears, gratia lacrimarum in Latin. They spoke of the baptism of tears, baptismum lacrimarum. And they spoke of the compunction of tears. They understood their tears to be an effective form of communication, a way of getting God's attention, and a way of getting God to act. Tears were both a sign of great sincerity and great need, and God could not ignore them. In one of the more wonderful images of God in Scripture, we have in Psalm 56 this image of how God gathers tears in a bottle. God hears and counts and gathers every tear, and he gathers them in a bottle, and he cannot help but respond with his loving kindness and compassion. That is the refrain repeated in Psalm 107. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. An Associated Press journalist in the Ukraine city of Mariupol was with a group of hospital workers who came under fire on Friday, and maybe you've heard of this story. Conditions in the hospital were dire, and people with nowhere else to go were lined in the hallways. Among them was Anastasia Arashova. Shelling had just killed one of her children, and she was weeping and trembling, her own scalp crusted with blood. "Mortar has struck the building," she said. "We were trapped underground, and two children died. No one was able to save them." This past week, I found myself sitting in a small chapel at a retreat center in St. Albert. It was kind of set off on its own. It was quiet there. And as I sat in silence, I finally felt what had been underneath the surface all week. And I began to cry. I was able to feel the sorrow of what is happening in my own soul. Sorrow from that story and countless others like it. I wept. and my body heaved, and I sobbed with many tears. And of course, one of the things that we feel is just this utter helplessness and uselessness. And I cried those tears too. And a part of me, you know, it feels like I owe you an apology. That I need to apologize to you. That I cannot offer you much more than the prayer of tears this morning. I wish I could offer you more. Like maybe a call to arms. Or a call to open your homes to refugees. Or maybe, you know, go out and volunteer with the Red Cross. Give your clothing and give your money. You know, but please do something. And I suppose we will. And maybe some of you already have. And I imagine that some plans are in the works. We can do many things. But the scripture today reminds us, don't forget to cry. Don't forget to sit down somewhere and weep. Cry for and in solidarity with the victims, the dispossessed, the forgotten, the disabled, the hungry and the homeless, and the casualties of war. Cry with Jesus, your own prayer of tears. It is the one thing, the only thing, that can unleash the compassion, the mercy, and the loving kindness of God. The prayer of tears has real spiritual power. And none of those other things that we might do can touch the heart of God like the cry of the victim. Let's take a moment of silence. Hear our prayers, Lord. And hear the prayers of your afflicted ones, wherever they might be. Lord, we thank you that in this time of Lent, we can remember that you yourself prayed the prayer of tears. You cried as one who is afflicted, one who has suffered under the power and the force of evil. May we find a way In spite of everything that we see and hear, may we find a way to trust in your compassion, in your mercy, and your ability to deliver us from evil. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.